Champions, our guest today is Grandmaster Noel Studer, who runs Next Level Chess and shares his experience and insights on chess improvement. He's not just a close friend, but like a brother to me, and I have a feeling this is going to be a fun and informative conversation. Let's go! Noel, my brother, I know how busy you are and how much you work every day. Thank you for finding time and coming to Chessnut Podcast.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
We are always joking and you are laughing at me that I am working so much and you are having some good balance. How do you manage that, bro?
That's actually a good question, because right now I'm just in a period where I think I lost balance, so I'm trying to get it myself again.
Balance to be lazy or balance to overwork?
Balance to make too much. So I, from my personal experience, when I work and I say, well, I just work as much as needs to be done and I don't have a schedule, I lose my balance. So usually my way of getting a balance is having a schedule, just saying, okay, whatever gets done, the rest I'll do another day. But I understand that being self-employed and only me is a bit easier than having a company and making a list. Yeah.
yeah, I can understand. Bro, I want to start from an interesting place. So a few days ago, I published a provocative article, and the idea was that good things, bad things, we don't know. Maybe it was not really that bad. And the question, interesting question, is think back about an event, about a day that you think that, then you thought that it was catastrophe, it was tragedy. And now you look back at it and you feel like, wow, it was so good that it happened. It was actually not bad. It was great. Yeah. So when I ask these questions to my friends, everyone will say like, yeah, I have such days. I have such moments. And then often there are lots of lessons from such days. Yeah. So when you heard this, what day or story came to your mind that back then you thought it's catastrophe and now you think it's great that it happened?
So actually, that's, I think it's a very nice actually article and idea, because at the end of the day, right, we learn, and then usually we learn more out of things that go badly. So later on, we're like, oh, I learned so much. Now it helps me. Yeah. So one thing that basically, the reason I'm here, I would say the reason I even got to chess professional is because I felt I got robbed out of a bronze medal at the Youth World Championship. So I think I've never told this story on a podcast. I played under 18 World Championship in Durban, South Africa, and I'm getting there last round. I'm third place. 1 point ahead of me is the first place and I play him. So if I beat him, maybe I can even win. Okay, so play this game, prepare. So much pressure. Switzerland hadn't had a medal for 30 plus years. So it was like a huge thing. Yeah, it's like, oh my God, if I make a medal, incredible. So I get there. First in the night, we prepare for the wrong color. So pairings were not out. We're like, okay, it's obvious, right? Like he will play black, I will play white. And it was Bortnik. It's a player that we know now plays extremely good chess. He was higher rated than me back then. And he played very dubious opening. So we were like crazy the whole night, you know, morning around at like 9 or 10 a.m. Let's prepare, not even wait for pairings, just go crush this and so on. So we look at all these lines, bam, bam, bam. Okay, let's sleep at like 1:30 or something. I wake up.
When you say we, who are we? You and your coach?
Yes, my coach that was coming with me was Grandmaster Sebastian Bogner. He's a German player that moved to Switzerland and then played for Switzerland. So we do this together, and I was an IM at the time. Oh, no, I wasn't even an IM. I actually became an IM because of this tournament. And so wake up in the morning, look at the pairings. I have black. Like, what? what is this? So need to change all the preparation, go to the board, tired, stressed. Bortnik plays e4. I think he never played e4 before. He plays mainline in the French. And after 7 moves, he just does this. Just a huge X. He wanted to offer a draw. He didn't know how to speak English. So he just made X. And
did you think like, okay, he wants us to stop doing this to me?
And so I was sitting there. I was like, wait, why is he offering a draw? Only then I realized if he draws against me, second place is half a point behind him. He has better like Buchholz and everything. He is world champion. We didn't even think of that. I was like, what? That's so obvious. So in the moment, I'm like, nah, I'm not taking a draw. A draw would have basically guaranteed me bronze medal. It's like, I'll beat this guy with black, yeah? So I play. After like four moves more, I'm already like, oh shit, I should have taken the draw. I'm already much worse. So basically what happened, he offers a draw. And in this moment, my instinct told me, okay, I need to play quick because I need to be, you know, kind of powerful Noel. No, I certainly don't want to draw. So I make a quick move and immediately it's a mistake. It's like you play bishop a6 in every line except for the line he played. I barely looked at this move. I was like, oh, bishop a6. And so much worse. After, I think, 1 hour, 45 minutes, I lost. I got checkmated like a schoolboy. I was so mad. I was like...
Wait. You never offered a draw when you felt everything is going wrong?
No, I didn't offer a draw again.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Maybe too proud or didn't come to my mind or I don't know what happened. But also, you have to imagine like Bortnik back then, like he was a real gangster. He was just sitting at the board relaxed as like I was like stressed out of the world. It's like relaxed. He played moves like he sacrificed a pawn like 1 minute, boom. 1 minute, boom. And I was like, dude, what are you doing with me? So I think I was so intimidated and felt he was so like sure of himself. I was like, okay, if I offer a draw, for sure he doesn't take. So I lose after 1 hour 45. And I was so mad. But now the story is not finished. So I was so mad at this moment. I was like, how can I do this? Then I go to McDonald's. I remember I told my coach, okay, I need the biggest McDonald's meat in the world. I eat all of this McDonald's. And then I get a text from a friend of mine. He says, hey, congrats. Even though you lost, you still have bronze medal. I'm like, what? What happened? So there was one specific way. Like, if I lose, board 2 needs to make a special result. Board 3, 4, 5, and 6. All of these boards, only one result each for me to still be third probably. And so I look, all the perfect results. Like, oh my God, I have bronze medal. So I start like, oh my God, from like worst to best, I still have bronze medal. Let's go. And then official standings come out. I'm fifth. Like, huh? what's wrong? And so we go to check. So what happened is for the 10 days before, they had regulations in South Africa that were hanging out. And it was saying first is amount of blacks and then Buchholz. Think this way around. So I had 6 blacks out of 11 games. So this was more important than having more Buchholz. So I was the highest Buchholz with 6 blacks. So I would have been third. What they did is that in the FIDE regulation, somewhere on a FIDE homepage, it's written that for World Youth Championships, that's not allowed. So basically before or during the 11th round, they changed the tiebreak system. And I was like, what the heck? So like we made like official complaint, but there was nothing to do. So I got fifth and it was such a roller coaster and I was so mad. But what I took out of it in a way is I had such a bad way of working on chess. Like everything of the process was horrible, right? Like I was terribly prepared for the game. Didn't even think about Bortnik asking a draw. Like everything about my process was wrong. If I would have taken a medal, maybe I would have said, oh, cool, now I finish. Like, this is my chess career, basically. I took a medal, I'm happy with it. But because I was so upset, I was like, from then was when I decided I will be a chess professional. I was like, okay, if FIDE robbed me of a bronze medal, I will now crush everybody. So that was the moment where I started, like, applying the right methods of chess training. It was just because I got so mad at not winning this bronze medal.
Interesting. Any other days that comes to your mind, bro, that you thought that this there was that was catastrophe, now you are happy for you live that days?
I mean, there are many. I would even go as far as to say when I had my brain injury, which is a very negative kind of experience. it forced me to learn so much about myself. So I wouldn't say I would want it again, but I can see how much I learned from it and the person I became from it. So it's like, because I had so much less time, we joked about know how much I work, which is also partly because, well, I just couldn't, right? So if you're like forced to work 2 hours per day, like you need to condense so much more in these 2 hours. You need really to think, okay, what is smart? What can I do also for chess? And this has given me so much that I wouldn't want to change the learnings out of it, even though it was a very painful period for me. So this is certainly something that also comes to mind. But I would say it's a lot of bad moments, a lot of games that were lost that you can say, okay, I learned so much out of it and I got stronger out of it.
We have talked about it a lot when you had brain injury and you were going to therapists and I would push you to another direction, to books, and I would push you that maybe it's subconsciously you should heal yourself. And I remember when we met in Budapest, I think you said it first time, that you said, brother, I am healed. I was like, yes. So tell me about it more, and also I'm sure our listeners will be interested, and for the context for our listeners who don't know your full story, Noel had a brain injury and he couldn't focus for more than 2 hours for years, right?
Yeah.
How many years?
7 years.
7 years, yeah. And he would go to therapies, would do many different things, and then suddenly we are meeting in Budapest and he's saying, brother, I'm healed. Tell us about that experience. How did that happen?
So this is really crazy, because sometimes in this, you know, kind of just think yourself healthy space, there are a lot of people that are, you know, also telling some shit, you know. But there is also some truth to it. So this has been very interesting to experience it on my own body. In 2017, I hit my head, had a concussion and didn't want to stop because it was just a Beal Grandmaster tournament that was coming up. So I didn't take breaks. And so this got worse and worse and worse. And for the first 2 years, basically, I had all of these problems, but everybody said, oh, it's just stress. Right, I would have, I couldn't focus. Like one tournament, I couldn't sit at the board. So I would play a move, go lie on the sofa, and then come back again when my opponent played, play a move, go lie on the sofa, because I would get like dizzy when I would sit on a chair. So I had all of these symptoms. And then at some point, a doctor said to me, okay, you have this brain injury. And so we started working on the physical process, right? I had extremely, and I still have a little bit, like very tight muscles here around the neck area. Then it goes up to the brain. The brain itself had some trouble. So there is like osteotherapy. You can do stuff in the brain, like on the brain. So I had some physical things, symptoms, which I worked on a lot. But at some point I understood like, I did 2-3 years physical therapy and it doesn't really help, or it helped, but not as much. And So also thanks to your nudges and actually my physiotherapist. So she told me that she had the same, and then she went to hypnosis, and through hypnosis she healed. So this was extremely interesting. And so what happened, apparently, I'm not a specialist, but that's how I understand it, is that my body basically learned how to be unhealthy and didn't know anymore how to be healthy. You have to imagine that for 5 years, I always had pain. So the normal function for my body was having pain, not having not pain. So basically, I had to reprogram my body and tell my body, hey, you can relax, first of all, because it's always so tense. It's like something can happen. And second is, well, you can live without pain. It can be normal. I was like, oh, that's cool, right? So this I had to reprogram, and this was really what you then said in Budapest, when there was the moment where I felt myself healthy, then the body fully made the switch as well. So it was really kind of this mind-body connection where I first had to, well, first I was working on the body. There were problems on the body, but at some point there were no clear symptoms anymore why I would have the problems I had. It was just that my body was used to creating those basically out of nothing, right? As if I would have a, you know, concussion every 2 months, you know, my body would like, okay, let's tune up the problems again. So I needed to work on this to become healthy.
It's so interesting, right? How many things are happening from our deep in mind, in from our unconscious brain, and how we can influence our unconscious, which becomes a reality.
Yeah. And it's so... go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's so interesting how many things I learned from this. Like, there were so many patterns. I was like, holy, that's because of that. So, for example, everything that could happen, every novelty, I saw as danger. And for a long time, I thought, well, that's just because I'm an introvert and I like staying at home. But then I started realizing, wait, as a kid, I wasn't like this. You know, I was doing crazy stuff. So this happened due to brain injury. Basically, everything that wasn't controllable for me was like a danger. And so I wanted to exclude every danger possible. Right? But when you want to exclude every possible danger, you also don't have too much fun anymore in your life. Right? Like, everything is possibly dangerous. So there's so many things that are linked to it then that I start realizing, oh, this pattern, oh, this pattern, oh, this pattern. And most of the things came back to just my body feeling unhealthy. And because of that, I took way too many precautions because I thought just a normal, you know, something that could be painful is bad, but sometimes pain is not that bad, right? It's just how we grow.
I remember when my wife was saying, oh, I didn't know Noel is a fun guy.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, but also pretty sad, you know.
I believe, bro, from you are very disciplined, and there are many people who are more talented than you and me. And often, I have read somewhere which very much resonated that often talent can be a curse. You are so talented that you never learn discipline, you never learn how to improve, you never learn how to take setbacks. And so often when you have talent, of course, to get to Grandmaster title, but if it's not over, that you just, whatever you do, you get there, you learn skills. And that skills you take with your life, which I believe you took it after retiring from chess, to next level chess, to your writing, to your courses, to your personal life, and I believe in everywhere, right?
100%, yeah, totally agree with that. And I think actually it makes you a better coach when you have to suffer harder for your results, right? Because if you never had these blockade moments, oh, I don't believe in myself, I needed to fix this 6 months plateau and then oof, I jump. But if it was everything just, oh, straight up, it's like, okay, what's your problem? Like, just get better, right? Like, you don't learn this kind of experience. So I think it helped me a lot just being able to put myself in the shoes of my readers, listeners, and students, and then to come up, because plateaus feel the same on many different levels. It's just... It's you need to do something new. You what you're doing at the moment doesn't work, but it doesn't mean that you are stupid or bad or you can't improve. So you need to change something. And yeah, one thing I like to say is that wrong process, right outcome is the biggest curse you can have. So that's probably...
Say it again?
Wrong process, but good outcome, especially uh-huh. early on in your life, is very bad, right? Because you're just learning the wrong lessons.
Yeah, that's right. That's deep, and it happens with too many people, right? And even if they are just playing some openings and some wrong openings, wrong ways, they are learning, and they have the first 100, 200 rating points, and they think, okay, that's the way. And then it's very difficult to realize. I think we are both playing poker, yeah. And I think one of the dangerous things with someone can happen if they play their first game in their life in poker, or they play in casino, and they think, oh, I won. It's so easy.
Yeah.
You are in trouble then.
That's actually, there is a, I don't know the exact numbers, but also the lottery millionaires that are mm-hmm. then losing all of their money yes. is an insanely yes. high amount. And it's just like, yeah. well... playing the lottery, mathematically speaking, is not the smartest thing in the world. Let's put it like this, right? You're on average losing money, right? So you got so much money out of a, well, not very well-studied process. And then you're like, what am I doing with this money? You never learned it. You never had to, you know, get kind of grow slowly. Oh, I have a bit more money. What am I doing? But like, I had nothing. Now I have so much. And then it seems like the money comes from nothing, basically. And that's how they spend it. And suddenly everything is gone. So this is, yeah, also in poker, I think everywhere where you have like this one hit wonder, but you didn't have to go through enough like hardship. Like either you are like Messi, right? Where your talent is so big that you can sustain it, or it will be super hard for you because the plateau, as you said, when you start playing wrong openings, start doing the wrong things, and then you get into a plateau, you're so attached to what you did before because it worked, right? You're like, wait. But then people like us are saying, no, don't do this. It's like, wait, what? This brought me 250 points. Like, yes, okay. It can improve you in the short term, but in the long term, it's not really going to work. And so they need to unlearn first everything and then to learn something new, way harder.
Yeah. When the foundation is bad, it's often just better there is nothing than just wrong foundation. And then as a coach, you need to crush all that foundation. I remember I had a student whose father taught him, his father didn't know to play chess really, but he taught him you should trade the queens as early as you can. Learn to play endgames, because Botvinnik or Smyslov said, if you learn endgames, you will be the best player. So the father, who had no idea about chess, taught his son to do that way. And this kid was playing, you know, every exchange variation, trying to trade everything. He was like 2,000. And when they asked me to train, I was looking and I was like, guys, it's very difficult. It will be very difficult. It would be better if he was beginner. Then he would go very quickly up. But now he's 2,000, but he plays like this chess, very slow, trading everything. No feeling of the speed of the game, initiative, yeah? So when I think about talent, I think it often comes to like, just often to not just what you got from nature and your genius, but also from the foundation you had. What was your foundation? And often your foundation might be so right that people mess it up with talent. What's your thought on it?
I love that story. I love that story of the student. It reminds me of, have you read Mastery by George Leonard? This is like a small book. It's very interesting on the teaching process. And it's about, I think it's talking about tennis. And he says something like, a new student is coming, and I will be lucky if he didn't have any lessons before, or something like this, right? He is super happy when the guy just, okay, he doesn't know. Oh, you don't know anything. Oh, thank God, right? Now we can work on because this is, and it reminds me again also about the thing we talked with my brain injury. When I finally found a therapist that was very good, I went to her and she said to me, oh, I'm so glad you came so quickly, because usually it takes as long as you suffered to heal. And I was looking at her and I was like, I'm suffering for 4 years. She's like, oh. it's the more these things are ingrained, right? It's really the same thing. Like my body just learned how to do things and I needed to unlearn. Much better not to know how to be unhealthy, right? So for the chess students, I think it's exactly the same. Like when they have these kind of bad habits, it's so tough to get out of it, but I think you can do it. I've seen it with many people, but it's just that you need to also be ready to shortly get worse and then maybe get better, because it's kind of, you're breaking everything, right? You're like taking, okay, now I take your chess knowledge, you forget about this, I put you something else. And it feels so hard. And you can be confused in the beginning as well. You're like looking at the position, wait, I would now think like this, but Avo told me to think like this. So now I need to like consciously override what my intuition tells me. Super difficult. But when you do it, then from the ground up, then everything can work better.
I will tell you one story about that, on that it can happen even on very, very high level. So once he was working with Arunyan, it was the moment when he had 28, but he was going down. And I asked him, what's happening? You are 2800, you are number two, now you are below. It was like years ago, not now, years ago. What's happening? And he said, I'm fixing something. Like, wait, you are 2800, you are fixing something. I said, you know what? He said, all my life I played d4, I didn't play e4. I didn't play e4 and I didn't play that very open fights. Now I am playing e4. It's painful. I'm not fully feeling it. I'm losing a lot, but I need to learn it. So his plan was to get to number one. Even on that level, his plan was to go back one, two step backward to fix things and then go up. Like, okay, that's very interesting, because even on that level, when you are the number two player in the world, you still can feel that something was missed in the foundation, and he felt like he didn't play for earlier, and he was even then trying to fix that. And the other good example comes to my mind. So in our neighborhood, two were building their home simultaneously, but one was building from scratch, so there was the ground, and he was building it. The other should crush the old building and then to start. So the moment the guy already almost built his home, the other one just finished crushing the the previous home. Brother, so you seem to me always very, very disciplined, much more disciplined than me. But I'm sure to get to Grandmaster title and doing all the things that you are doing, you should have made some bold decisions. And we have talked about so many things, bro, but I want to hear something new. Tell me about some bold decision that you have made and you are like, I'm very proud of it.
So this is difficult if it's bold in your eyes, you know, because you are one hell of a crazy guy, you know. So it always depends on who thinks. So I will say things that, in my opinion, are bold. Now, you can tell me if this is every day. Okay, what you even talk about this? For somebody like me, it's kind of bold. So I think one of the biggest hard decisions was obviously becoming a chess professional, because nobody in my surroundings thought it was a good idea. Like, it was really like, my friends, what the heck are you doing? My parents, oh my God, what? We wasted high school on you. I have one brother and he always had problem in school. It was always, you know, close to failing in school. And my parents are both very well studied, have nice jobs. And they both wanted like get to university and get a great job. So I was always the kid that, oh, at least Noel is good in school, you know, at least he's not making us problems. He has nice grades. That's so cool. You know, okay, he did the sports school 1 year more, but he will, you know, study whatever economy, then he will lead some bank or whatever you do in Switzerland. And so I tell them, I wouldn't be a chess professional. They were like, what? How are you wasting your life? And like all their hope is like, now we don't have hope anymore. Yeah. Turns actually out that my brother was the one then, you know, studying. Now he's leading a restaurant. He has a normal job. Now my brother is the pride of the family and I'm the strange guy.
What is he doing? He was writing articles.
Exactly. How does he even... Sometimes they ask me, but this course that you film, you still make money with this? I'm like, yes, people are buying it. Oh, nice. So this was incredible. And even... my chess federation. So this is the craziest part. I was calling to the national coach, you know, proud, like, oh yeah, I'm motivated. I want to be chess professional. He's telling me, are you sure you don't want to go to study? I think you should go to study. I was like, wait, what? You're the national coach. What are you telling me? That I should go to study? So he was also not happy. And even my coach at the time, I was working with Artur Yusupov, and I love Artur. Artur's such a nice, much more nice human being even than he is a good coach. He has amazing books. But he is not so ambitious anymore with his students usually. He's like, okay, let's, you know, get better, but not like... And so I was also telling him, he was like, are you sure? I was like, wait, everybody thinks I'm stupid. So this was one of the hardest one, because I just went against basically what everybody told me. And then a second one, which I think for you will just be very standard, is is when I stopped my career. So it was in 2021. I had still the health issues, right? And I was starting to write, to do stuff with coaching. And then I was at one day, we were planning 3 months to go to the Canary Islands to live there. And one day I just felt like, hey, I need to take my health seriously. So I remember standing in the kitchen, listening to some podcast, and I just told Alessia, okay, for the next 2 months, I'm not working. And she's looking at me like, what? So it was the first time where I completely trusted what I felt from my body. Like my body was telling me, okay, you need to take a rest. I didn't understand why. I didn't understand how. And so basically 5 days later, I was just, okay, I'm gone for 2 months. So that was the start of like taking myself more seriously from what I feel from my body. You could say also from what my subconscious mind tries to tell me somehow. So these were two decisions that come to mind. Now you can rate them on a scale from 1 to 10.
No, the second one was bold, bro. I have never taken 2 months off. my maximum off
is one day. Yeah.
I had eight days. Yeah. I think 8 days I had.
That's crazy.
I had eight days fully off. Yeah. So that one is bold. But to go to the first one, bro, that even your coaches and Artur Yusupov was like, are you sure? I think we should talk about it a little bit deeper, because as we both became grandmasters, we know now that it's not the answer. It's not that you become a grandmaster and you are happy. And for those grandmasters who were already there, they were like, bro, like, Noel, like, you want to become a grandmaster because you think that's the answer, because you think that you will be happy, or you really love the game. So I think we should talk about this, because I see it all the time. In chess community, in Chessmod family, in our champions, for people who are like, I want to become grandmaster, there is not really strong why, and you feel like they think, oh, look at Noel Avo, the other grandmasters, they are a little happy, but they don't see that it's like, especially for people who are still hardly competing and playing professionally, it's not the answer. So I think you should share a bit on your thoughts, because you also got there and then retired.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I think, so first thing, you're totally right that it's not the answer. So it's not like once you hit GM, you're like, oh my God, right? Actually, it's one of these days where I hit GM, and you said the other way around, right? You said bad days are turned into good. I thought this will be the best day of my life, and I was freaking feeling horrible. I was like,
Same day you felt it?
It's next morning.
Okay, it took me 3 days, bro. At least 3 days.
I was waking up, I was like,
was celebrating.
Wait, what? Yeah. I still feel the same. And now I feel worse, because I don't have hope that it basically eliminates all the pain for my life, right? And you see that often actually also in other areas, right? You have this one huge goal, you hit it, and you're like, wait, that was it? Like, I was happy for one evening. And now? So this is a good point. I think for me, it was mostly not wanting to achieve something, but knowing that I don't want a normal life. I think that in retrospective, I start realizing that. So when I had the decision going to university, the only other option I thought I had was playing chess professionally. I didn't think I have any other option. So basically I was like, for sure not university, that sounds boring. So let me take the other option. Then later on in life, I started realizing it's like, I picked chess because I wanted to make something special out of my life, to not do something ordinary, just not just say, okay, I need to do what my parents tell me to do, but I want to, you know, kind of find it for myself. And then I started understanding, you said that I then retired, I started understanding that chess is not the answer, or playing chess professional is not the answer for me. So that's why I retired. But I think in that moment, it was important for me to be able to do something that is not ordinary. And that was like the, if I would have gone to university then, I think it would have, every year becomes harder to do something non-ordinary, right? So yeah. The more you get, like imagine you are a lawyer, you have a family that you have to pay for, and now you're thinking about doing something, you know, non-ordinary, it gets harder and harder. Now, I'm not saying this is the right solution for everyone, but like for me, it was finding that I want to, yeah, just, okay, what do I want? And then later on, I started realizing, oh, you can have a business, you can be a coach. Wow, that's cool. You know, and so I started seeing alternatives to my life as a chess professional.
We both love the quote by Jim Carrey. Remember?
I don't remember it.
I had in my article, and the other day I saw in your article too. He said, "I wish everyone had."
Yeah.
So say it.
I wish everyone. Well, how? What? How does he say it? I can't.
Kind of. I wish everyone
achieved everything,
their cars,
basically. Yeah,
their
exactly.
houses,
yeah.
And understood that that's not the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or everyone became a GM so they can really understand if they like chess
yes.
or not. Yeah, like, that's the moment where it's like, oh yeah, now I tick this off. Now everybody thinks I'm cool. Do I think I'm cool?
So recently we were talking, and you were thinking about the alternate direction you might go at some point. So just as you thought, okay, it's only chess and university, and then you found, oh, I can also do coaching, oh, I can also have business, etc. Then you were thinking that maybe you will switch from the chess world and do bigger. What, when you are teaching, yeah, when you are coaching, you are writing, what is making you the most angry, anxious? Some what makes you most negative feeling? Because at the end, you even deleted your whole active Twitter account when people were following, but there were often comments, things that they were not getting it, protesting, pushing back, and you got so angry that you deleted. So there are many things I can understand. I'm in that world. So often people have strong opinions. No, it's you're wrong. You should every day play bullet and to become a better chess player. What you are telling, yeah? People often have that strong pushbacks and strong mental models. So what's the thing that makes you most angry that you are even thinking about switching one day to other world?
So what upsets me probably most is that when there are some things in the chess world that are pretty negative and unhealthy for people, and I feel like I want to change it. For example, just having obsession about ratings, you know, what we talked about, like thinking that if you reach a certain goal, then blah 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 blah, or like pushing back against, for example, no, sometimes when we write about mindset, there are some people, oh, this is just, you know, this is just hocus pocus, hurrah, tra-la-la, right? You know, and it's just magic and whatever. And like, this is because it has helped me so much in my life. When I see that sometimes, and I felt that as a chess professional as well. So how I came to it, to chess in general, I was always more an athlete than a chess player, I would say. So I was always more sports psychology. I worked like 6 years with a sports psychologist, nutritionist. Like I saw it more as a like sport than a game. And many people see it as a game and, oh, whatever, your health doesn't matter, your, you know, fitness, why should you run so you can play better chess? Like all of these things. I think when people are, and sometimes I don't even mean it badly. I mean, some people are just, you know, kind of not positive, I think, but some people really try to help out, but they give like advice that is totally unuseful and unhelpful for people. And I feel like I need to save this. That's where I get completely overwhelmed as well, because there is too much, right? At some point you need to realize I can't fix it. Like I just can't. It's the internet. Like, how are you going to, you know, there's 90% like shouting around without really thinking about it. How are you as one person going to equalize this? It's just impossible. So I think for me, it was like deleting X was very extreme because also, I mean, there was a lot of business I got from the site still. So it was a big financial hit as well. But it was just, I couldn't stop myself from trying to interact with these kind of people. And every time I felt like they are just sucking energy out of me. And I think at the end, you need to realize, or I had to realize, like, I can't change people that aren't ready to get changed. So what I can do is to offer a platform for people that have an open mind of how to maybe study chess in a healthy way, in a better way, how to be able to say, hey, you can achieve a lot, but hey, you need to put the stuff in. Like, you can't achieve a lot and just play bullet all the time and win 400 points in a month. Like, it's just not going to work everything together. Like, something, somewhere you need to do something right. So yeah, that's a long answer, but...
Yeah. Yeah. But you kept for years writing article every week. And to me, you are like... I don't know if I know anyone who is more disciplined than you. And if there are like Superman, Batman, I think to me you are discipline man, something like that. Yeah. And I feel like with this discipline you are having and you are putting it everywhere, it's in writing, it's in learning, it's in scheduling things, it's in how you are running, how you are reading in everything you do. It seems to me this discipline, it's your power, and it takes you everywhere, and it feels like whatever you do with that discipline, you will achieve. Do you have the same feeling about yourself?
It's very funny because I have a very different feeling about it. So here's my take on this. I believe, you can ask Alessia, she will agree, most likely. I'm the most undisciplined human that has ever seen this earth. And that's why I am the most like strict with rules, because only when I'm super strict, I can stick to stuff. And I think maybe that's something that I have to share more often, because maybe people are thinking, oh, this guy is just, you know, disciplined man out of nothing, basically. It's like, okay, I've tried it this way, didn't work. I've tried it this way, didn't work. I've tried this. Okay, I've tried 27 things. The 28th thing that worked is just saying I only work until 5 p.m., never more. And that's the only thing that has worked for me. And then like the same with like chocolate. If I say, okay, I can eat a little bit chocolate every week, I eat like a kilogram of chocolate every week. It's not working, right? So what we do is Alessia hides all the chocolate from me at home. So I can't find any chocolate. Like, one time she was out with friends. I searched for half an hour. She hid it so well, I couldn't find it. So where is my discipline, right? I'm searching for half an hour for chocolate, even though I know I shouldn't do it. So basically, I think what you mean by most disciplined man is that I have, out of so much pain of failing myself over and over, I've created so many systems that basically don't allow myself to not be disciplined. And that's the only freaking way that I manage to be disciplined. And I sometimes wish I would be different. I think I shared this with you with my work schedule this year. I don't know if I shared, like I wanted to say a set amount of holidays, a set amount of hours I can work per day. And so I did this. January, February was amazing. Then I went to holidays and then I was like, I think I can, you know, I feel so good. I think I had a horrible month. Like, the last month was so bad. I worked or way less or like all the time. There was nothing in between. So I'm like back, okay, it seems like the only thing that works for me is to say I work from 8:30 to 12:30. Then I go to run. Then I eat. Then I work. Like, I just seem to need, or at least it's the only thing I've found so far that has kept me consistently doing things I want to do, not fall into bad habits, and actually feel way happier. As many people think I will be so unhappy because I, you know, I'm not allowed to do this, to do that. But what I find is in these moments where I have a month where I plan, I feel way more happy. So this is a big change for me.
I remember that was a revealing thing for me when I was reading Ryan Holiday's book about discipline, where he had this that discipline. It's not that it's boring life. No, it's that it gives more freedom. So your superpower is not discipline. Yeah, your superpower is what, self-strict or what?
Maybe masochism or whatever. Yeah. I think so. What I've realized with myself is when I realize something is a problem, I'm ready to take kind of extreme actions that help me solve this problem in the long term. So, for example, I went, sometimes I play poker, right? So I had a period where I was excited about poker more than working, but I wanted to work. So I went with a weekend with my friend. I came home tired. As you know, poker tournaments always until 4 a.m. Like, I hate the rhythm. So I was like talking to him and I was like, I don't want to do this for a while. I want to focus on my work. He was like, yeah, take it easy on you. It's like coming home. I banned myself for 6 months from all poker. It was like, okay, now it's done. So it's like when I have this kind of pain, I'm like, how can I help myself in the next months to not even have to confront myself with that pain? I think that's my process that I'm trying to do. For many people, it seems like, well, this is so extreme. For me, it's really like just helping Noel in 5 days, not having to think about this. Because I know Noel in 5 days probably is not strong enough to say, oh, there is another poker tournament and my best friend is also going. No, I'm not doing it. I'm now working. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. One day, who cares? Yeah. So that's why I'm just like so kind of strict on systematically trying to apply these things.
Yeah. Okay.
But I wish it would be different. I mean, if I could learn it, it would be funnier probably the other way, but it seems to work for me.
But you found it. You found your way. So when you came from your poker trip, you were like all in with your project that you had in your mind for a time. You were recording the course you had, how to study chess, your NLT course, and soon you are relaunching it. Tell us what happened, why you were like, okay, I need to redo that. And how did you put yourself and say it, Noel, the most undisciplined guy, you need to re-record the whole thing. Tell us why you did that and how it went.
So the discipline part was interesting because basically only when I saw the deadline and was like, holy cow, I started to be disciplined again. It was like, sometimes it can help. Yeah, it's like if you publicly say that's when I have the course ready, then you have no other option. But yeah, I wish I could do it also when it's a little bit less strict. Why have I recorded everything? So basically, yeah, I had this course and it worked. But what I felt or what I saw from my students a lot is they get a lot of knowledge on how to train, but the application wasn't ideal yet. So the idea was like, okay, learn all of these things, right? 10 hours of Noel telling you, this is how you study endgames, this is how you... And then they tried it out. And then, like, you're not going to remember everything, not going to implement everything. So what I tried doing is instead of giving all the knowledge and now you do it, is more like, okay, I give you a little bit of knowledge, try it out, see how it feels. Do you have any problems? Okay, here's how you solve these problems. Next thing. So it's like trying to make it much more step by step than trying to take somebody, say, oh, you have horrible habits. In one course, I make you perfect habits. You go out of it and it's perfect. It usually doesn't work, right? At some point, you're like, oh, it's too complex for me. So it's more a gradual approach of learning how to study while still studying, right? So it's not just you have to finish 10 hours and then you get a study plan, but you get a study plan and with the study plan, you study chess and you learn how to study chess.
Right. Brother, with re-recording, you also made the course bigger because I saw its price also raised.
Exactly. So there is additional material in there. Everything is re-recorded. There will be even more additional material added in the next few months. I learned this, by the way, from you to have coming soon. That's amazing. And so, yeah, until April 4th, they can get it at the old price. So that will be $100 off. And then all the chess mood students, they have a special code as well that they should find somewhere in the description, and they will get additional $100 off. So you can get $200 off.
Dear chess mood students, I just learned it. So I will make sure to ask my teammates who is helping me with episodes to put every code and the code and the links in the description so you can find it. I will ask Noel at the end of the episode for details, and everything you will find under the description of the episode. I highly recommend to click on it and check it out and see if it is for you. In my personal opinion, it is not for everyone. So if you want to improve, you are tired of everything, I want to improve, I think you should check it out, because Noel has done it and he has taught many. It is a little bit hardcore training, in my opinion, less fun, but more hardcore. But for sure, it might be very, very effective way to just get there, to learn how to study. And often you might be a person who just enjoys that, enjoys doing everything correctly and enjoys seeing the progress. So just click and see if it is for you. And if it's not for you, it's fine. Not everything is for everyone. And thank you, Noel, for giving additional discount to Trasmut family. And tell me, bro, about your other plans. So now you are saying that you came back and you are going to work more this year, even though you went for a long time to poker playing. So what's your plans? You are going to continue writing articles. What other plans you have that you can share that are not secrets?
A lot of secrets. No, just more of the same, basically. I want to really spend time on this new course as well, the Simplified Chess Improvement System. There are some things, for example, I want to tackle time travel. I want to tackle thought process. So in general, I don't want to create videos that are already done, or that, for example, I just love how Chessmood is doing it. So I don't need to recreate something like Tactic Ninja, right? I don't feel that's the place. That's my place in the chess world. So what I try to do is focus more on these areas that I think I'm, specially skilled in, which would be mindset, which would be how to train, how to plan, how to get your habits, how to be more healthy in a, nutrition, sports. So all these kind of, I would say I don't know the English word, tangential, whatever, like on the side, they touch it, but they are not fully maybe chess things. So I will be doing more of that. And one thing that I really is my kind of goal, and that was starting with that relaunch of the course, is making everything more actionable. So not just giving like, okay, yep, in theory, here is what you should do, but like, Noel, tell me, what do I have to do right now to execute? So making it more step by step for people to be able to follow and improve their game.
Tell me, if you are going to record the course, how to be strict with yourself? how to make strict and keep discipline? So, how to be masochist as you are doing with yourself?
So one thing I have in the course, and maybe I will expand on it, is basically this idea that I find this for myself, right? I prefer, if I have 10 hours, let's say I have 10 hours for chess, what I prefer doing is to say, how much do I really want to improve? So I say 6 hours, I'm really doing what really matters. And then 4 hours, I do whatever I want, right? So for me, somehow in the middle, this is the hard part for me. So if anyone out there is like, yeah, that sounds like for me too, because again, I don't do this because I enjoy doing it this way. It's just because this is the only way that I found that I really get stuff done. Like, I've made a GM title like this. I've built a business like this. Basically, anything I've done, I've prepared for a half marathon like this now. It's like everything I do is I need a clear kind of execution. This is making me better. And then if I have additional time, or how much additional time I have, I can decide, now I'm just watching my favorite YouTuber and I enjoy it, but I don't try to improve it. But as you say, you can also enjoy the training, the hard training that you're doing. I think that's part of... That giving you this kind of sense of, oh, I just did something very hard, can give you also a very positive feeling.
Right, my friend, my last questions My last question that I ask every guest, what's your one wish to chess lovers who also want to improve? One wish.
That you can enjoy the plateau.
Tell me more. Enjoy the plateau.
It's only one wish. I'm a strong believer that growth is done in the periods where it's hardest. So everybody can improve their chess if the rating is going up. Everybody is motivated when the rating is going up. But at some point, you will get a plateau where things don't work anymore. And many people believe that you just need to suffer through the plateau so you can then grow again. But if you look at a career from a chess player, for example, you have more plateaus than you have growth periods. So if you want to enjoy chess, at the end of the day, what you need to do is you need to enjoy the plateau, because the growth period, anyway, you enjoy. Like if you're coming, you know, oh my God, I won in 1 month 250 points. Like, I don't have to ask you, did you enjoy your, like, probably you enjoyed your time, right? But in order to achieve this again, you need probably to go through 6 months of harder periods. And so if you can even enjoy these periods, then I think chess is really fun and nice.
Quite deep. Nice, nice answer. And can we answer the question to how do I enjoy the plateau with answering it, enjoy the process as a result?
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's when you focus on the process, when you're not focused on short-term results, when you're thinking about, am I doing the right things? Am I having fun? Am I, you know, growing? Am I learning skills? And not, did I win this game or did I lose this game? Then you have a way better chance to having fun. Again, something I had to realize because I was very bad at it.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for coming to Chessmode Podcast. And I'm not hoping, I'm sure I will see you more and more. Keep well. And until next time, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
My champions, I hope you loved the episode. Drop a comment what resonated with you. What are you taking into your life? And if you have any questions, leave them below. I will ask him in our next episode. You will find all the links mentioned in the episode in the description, including the discount coupon code for his course. Stay awesome. Until next time, my friend.